What's up, everybody? I'm To Hear More.
I'm Patrick Clyde.
And this is another episode of Damn Internet. You're scary.
What it do?
What's popping, everybody? Happy Thursday for those that are watching, tapped in, tuned in. A lot of stuff going on, man. Some old, some new. We're gonna get into it. How's your week been going, man?
My week's been good. Should I, like my actual week?
How was your week when you went out of town?
Oh, okay. This is gonna be a little bit further ahead in the month. I had a great week. I went to Costa Rica.
Okay, how was that?
Costa Rica is a great time. It's way closer to us than I thought.
Really?
Yeah, whenever I think of just like South America or Central America, it's almost like it seems as far away as Europe.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was like a 3-hour flight.
That was nice.
Got to go out into the rainforest, mm-hmm. and I saw jaguars and shit.
It was
a good time. I highly recommend anybody in America to check out Costa Rica because they just have so much beautiful stuff out there. I went to a volcano. I'm into volcanoes now.
You be doing shit that's hella dangerous, but then you have such a fear of the water. And they be like, bro, mm-hmm. these predators can kill you too.
Oh, the jaguar was in a sanctuary.
Okay.
There was a lot of stuff between me and, well, just glass. But I think it got out too, because as I was leaving, I heard it growling. And we were really far away. And we were like, okay, let's go this way. And then we heard the growling get a little closer because we were in the jungle. So either it got out or there was another one nearby that was loose, or its growl from in the cage was just incredible. But
wow.
I didn't stick around to.
Yeah, it was just like you seemed pretty calm
to figure it out. But no, it was a great time. I went to Medellin after that.
Oh,
they thought we were mules based on the route we took. It was like Costa Rica, Medellin, Miami. I was like, oh, I'm Escobar. I'm a full
mule. No problems with customs or anything? Got in and out pretty quickly?
No issues with customs.
That's good.
Colombian customs just takes a grip of time. It's just really long lines. But there was no problems with that. Medellin is a beautiful place. But it's kind of like one of those places that you kind of feel slightly guilty for going out there and just having a great time, because it's like tourism is so big out there, mm-hmm. that you're either in a really, really nice place that's catered to outsiders or just like super, super poverty, you mm-hmm. know? So we were kind of like driving past the real Colombia, and I was just like, damn, we out here like, you know, just like living it up.
Yeah.
But very beautiful place. People are amazing. Food is great.
What's the food like? Is it like Mexican food mainly, or
it's funny because like everywhere we went, because it was like a big group of us, shout mm-hmm. out to Top Shelf Getaways, it's like a big group that was kind of like moving around, and even though we went to different parts of Colombia, it was all based in the same type of food. It was like grilled chicken, rice and beans, plantains, just like, you know, stuff like, I feel like we ate the same stuff in Costa Rica. It's Central America and South America is like the palates is usually like some type of protein, plantains, beans. And rice and beans. So it's kind of like different variations of that. We had it'll come with like different vegetables or sauces, mm-hmm. but a lot of it is the same, and it's just really fresh. Everything just, you could tell it's not like the same type of food in America.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I got back to America, I ate something and then was sick.
Dang.
Because I was just like eating fresh stuff for so long. But
that'd be the crazy part. Like they talk about third world countries, but the food be still so different from everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Some of the freshest juice I ever had was in Germany, of all places.
Really?
Bro, it was like biting the fucking apple, and then everything, all the contents of the apple turned into juice as soon as I bit it. That's
really?
How fresh the juice was. And the orange juice was the freshest that I've ever had in my fucking life. It was so delicious.
Sheesh.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. I had a great time eating. I probably would never go back to Germany. I don't ever have to go back to Germany, but
what was bad about Germany?
It was everything that I pictured it to be. It was cold, it was dreary, it was just
overcast.
Yeah. Just not popping at all. The architecture is like very like rigid, and I don't know. It's just maybe I need to go at a different time of the year, because I think we went, was that like October, September?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, it was just, yeah.
Is that what you were there for, Oktoberfest?
No. I was there for comedy. We did some shows in Germany, and then we went to London and did a show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Did they have good sausages?
I ate some sausages and some beer. I had the beer and all
is
of that.
Is the beer different?
No, it's just beer.
It wasn't like, this is fresh.
No, it was just regular beer. I just really fully immersed myself in the culture and just had all the sausage and all the beer together and all that shit. And I was just like, all right, well, I've done this.
Wasn't the...
Check.
They don't call them bangers out there, right? Or is that... That's
London, right?
Yeah, that's only London?
I don't know.
I didn't hear them call it bangers. They just call it, like, sausage.
Bangers is crazy.
It was like a whole plate of sausage. It was like four different kinds of sausage that I had and some fries and
sausage
big ass beer. Big ass beer. Though. I went crazy on the beer. I ain't gonna hold you though.
The boot?
Yeah.
Das Boot.
I had one of them. And I think I went shopping a little bit. Checked out the little. They have like this area where it's like a whole lot of shop, North Face and all of that shit and Doc Martin and.
North Face is expensive.
It is.
I didn't know till this winter.
I didn't know that.
Such good quality, though.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's got more expensive since the popularity of it, like Air Force Ones. Air Force Ones used to be like $75. And
how much are they now?
Like $130.
They went up. Nelly jacked the prices up?
Nelly definitely had some effect of it. And they didn't get any money from that either.
For real?
None.
How are you supposed to make money from them after the fact? Because, like, they made the song. Like, yeah, there was no deal, you know? So the song blows up. What is it? Do some people do that? Like, hey, I blew your stuff up. Give me stock, or how does that work? I feel like that happens a lot.
Yeah, it's nothing you could do at that point. So
they're just like, thanks.
Yeah, unless they would have took it probably to Nike before, dropped them. Like, yo, we're gonna drop this song. Is there anywhere we can get? I think they got some free pairs of Nikes, but that's all.
That's insane.
They
could have at least had like a Nelly Nike collab.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever did have that.
Like a Band-Aid on the bottom. Yeah, like a Band-Aid on the bottom, and it's like you. To peel it back and you see the check. There was something that could have happened.
Let's see. Nelly Nike collab. Ooh, no. By Air Max, CB. Now, I saw he had it looked like the Charles Barkley shoe, but he never got the Air Force One.
Come on, Nike.
Yeah, man.
Wow. I feel like everybody just needs to put their own shit out.
Yeah.
Cause Nelly needed some money for some new Band-Aids. He should have dropped a designer Band-Aid or something like Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
These are all bad ideas.
They're very bad.
There's a market. There's always a market.
Oh yeah. I mean, you see what what's the brand?
Balenciaga,
they did the bag of chips as a purse. And
the IKEA bag.
The shoes
IKEA
bag. Were falling apart.
Nasty shoes.
Jeez Louise,
there was a crazy
man.
One. I heard that Prada dropped a paperclip for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's like this small, and it has Prada engraved on it, and it was like $400 or $500. You guys seen that? It's like it's a troll thing. I forget who. There was another designing company that dropped a bag that was microscopic. Did you see that? It was like this green, electric green.
No. So I saw that. Yeah.
You had to see it under a microscope.
Wasn't there one that was like a 10,000-pound weight or something? Like it was like a bag that was a weight and it said
10,000 pounds
or something crazy.
Damn.
I found the
Damn.
I found the picture
of what?
Of the paperclip. Oh my gosh. It's just stupid.
how big? How much is it?
It said 370 pounds. So I have.
Is pounds more than us or less?
More.
$185.
The paperclip?
Yeah. Oh wow. So I was looking at the wrong price then, because pounds is definitely more.
I get some designer stuff
too.
Damn, that's crazy. Wait, they probably made it in short batches though.
Yeah, because they're like,
also evidently white Air Forces when they made the song were $59.99. They did the song, and then 8 months later, they were $100. We didn't get no residuals.
Oh, they got zip ties. Designer zip. Okay, so is this just the most ridiculous designer stuff?
Yeah, well, it's a Supreme.
Oh, wow.
Wait, go back up.
Great.
Go back up to the Supreme.
It's a brick. That shows me they don't give a shit about their audience.
Bro, Supreme is like, it's like the working man's. What was the other brand I just said? Not Balenciaga, but.
Gucci? Prada?
No, the one that was making the crazy stuff, the bag.
Oh,
Balenciaga.
Balenciaga? Was it Balenciaga?
Yeah.
That's the working man's Balenciaga Supreme. Because some of the stuff they have out, the motorbike, the brick, the toothpaste, the small hatchet, it's like, what is this for,
Wasn't there Supreme mac and cheese? Like Supreme Craft? I've seen a
they
box.
Might have.
They had nunchucks, they had which I was, crowbar. I thought that was cool. See, I like that kind of stuff.
A Bible?
A Supreme Bible? That's insane.
Fire extinguisher. That's crazy, bro.
The zip ties.
They did
that
collaboration with New York City with the Metro Card, and they had the Supreme Metro Card, but they didn't tell you where it was at. You just had to
You had to find it?
Yeah.
Get it. Yeah, there was a Supreme Kraft mac and cheese in the shapes, spelled out the word Supreme, so each noodle was a letter, and then there's a dino on the front with a Supreme t-shirt on.
The mac and cheese spelled out Supreme?
Yeah, so the mac and cheese were now letters instead of elbows, and the letters were the word Supreme.
If anything, their creative team must have a lot of fun, because there's no ceiling on the stupidity.
Yeah, well, the main designer left.
That's
he was a black
dope.
Dude. He left them about a year and a half ago, because he didn't like... Once they got bought out, he left.
Yeah, but it seems like...
it's not expensive.
They must have loyal fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of these, it would be like, damn... You think they're gonna buy a brick? And then before you know it, that shit's sold out as hell.
Hell yeah, they gonna buy that brick.
Can you put most ridiculous designer? What's the last word?
Items.
Most ridiculous designer items. Yeah. 16. Yep, the nunchucks was the
cookies.
Okay, there it goes. $185 Prada paperclip. wait. Hang on.
Yes!
Chanel boomerang?
That
shit's
almost God.
$1,700, though? That's fire.
Oh, my God. $2,000
IKEA bag. Balenciaga.
Come on, man.
That's even more.
Balenciaga just be playing in our face.
Right.
There it is. $500 Supreme Metro card.
It was $500?
$500 out of the thing.
Hermes Leather Horse Nightmare. What is it? It's 130 racks? Wait, hang on.
133.
It's a stuffed animal. A 56-inch stuffed animal for 133,000. Who's the...
56 inches? That is...
Who's the...
Market. Who's the demographic?
Like, who is this going towards?
No idea.
Wait, 56 inches?
Yeah, like that's big for a stuffed animal toy. Like that's
what is that life size?
Four and a half. Yeah, that's.
No, that's not life size. But it's big.
3 feet. It's over 3 feet. Three feet. Yeah. It's over 4 feet. Like it's going on 5 feet.
Oh wow,
a Tiffany bubble wand. Okay, for what Tiffany sells, that looks like jewelry though.
Right. But you can't wear it.
That's some expensive ass bubbles
bet you
though.
It doesn't even make bubbles.
No.
Oh my God!
Or at least the bubble should have Tiffany on it, like
$40 Supreme brick.
I didn't know it was $40.
And they're reselling for $1,000.
Who's missed out on that? The comforter bag.
Oh, that is.
Oh,
that's awful looking,
bro. $3,000 Balenciaga comforter bag.
Does it put you to put comforters in it, or it just looks like one?
It just looks like the bag that you buy at the corner store.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
$175. Chanel football. Chanel is winning right now. the Christopher Kane zip ties. I've never even heard of Christopher Kane. Is that a big designer? Oh, this next one, the fire.
Pack.
Oh, come on. This is the best one. $3,000 Prada chess set. Now, obscenely rich and you wanted to just get designer stuff,
flex.
I could see why you would put that in your house because it's cool.
It's not regular chess. It's fashion chess.
I don't know where I would put a brick. Like, where do you put a brick or a bubble wand on display?
It's a doorstop, the Supreme brick.
Louis Vuitton Band-Aids, hard.
Boom. You just said that.
Yeah.
With Nelly joined.
See, they should have hit Nelly up. That's a missed opportunity.
Wait. Go back up to that. I got to read that. Showing one of the more well-received recent shows, these leather LV monogram leather Band-Aids may soon be a ton of thing. Wow.
Damn. You got to just wait
until
you get
hurt. Leather Band-Aid. You wear it like a ring, or I wonder if they're different sizes, or you could adjust it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because
so
it's leather.
Like a ring would make sense.
Yeah. But
is this a designer trash can?
Yeah.
$1,500 for actual garbage. If you pay $1,500, you better never see garbage.
Yo.
This better be real butterflies. Yeah.
That's going to smell.
Wow. Okay.
$85 striped socks. Okay, socks seems like in the realm.
Is that a Reebok too? Is that a collaboration with Reebok? Because that looks like the Reebok logo.
Yeah.
Right behind it. Yeah, it did say Reebok on the bottom of the sock.
Marc Jacobs hair tie for $30. And a rock tie to it. That's what we got. I mean.
Okay.
Ooh.
Shaved fur pillow from Chanel, $2,400.
The Chanel, I'm in on the Chanel stuff.
It's fancy rabbit.
Damn.
Oh, I used to own rabbits, some Angora rabbits. So I
you used to own rabbits or rabbit pillows?
No, Angora rabbits. The rabbits that they use the fur from to make like fur lined gloves and stuff.
What'd you do?
You don't have to kill the rabbit to do it. Hmm?
Oh, they just shave them?
Yeah, they grow really big, long hair.
And it's like it's luxurious.
It's super luxurious.
You just had them as a pet? Yeah.
Yes. Blueberry and
okay.
Omar.
Hold on. Wait there a second.
All right, this is
hold
crazy.
On. An $85 Nordstrom rock. The best part, the rock actually sold out.
Okay, at least it got a little holder. You got a little holder. You're pretty much paying for the holder, but
yeah, it looks like a nice leather holder.
Do you think they put any thought into the type of rock? Or do you think they just kind of like walk outside the Nordstrom?
They probably got a big rock and just kept shaving it down, cutting different pieces off it to fit that.
Damn. I don't have the boldness. Because I feel like... I feel like you have to be really, really have a successful brand to even try this. Because if you do this too early, I feel like people will flip on you.
Yeah.
If I try to sell them rocks.
A rock, bro?
There's a market for everything. People were buying people's farts in a jar. So.
Mm-hmm. And she was making money.
Yeah.
But that was like sexual. Mm-hmm. None of these are sexual.
Yeah, that was definitely like a kink.
None of those are sexual.
Yeah, people would be falling in love with inanimate objects, so you never
no
know.
No one's going to get off to this rock, though. Well, you never know.
You never know, man. Somebody might be just rubbing it and it gets them to that.
Get your rocks off.
I see what you did there.
That's what Nordstrom did.
Yeah, they sold out.
Guys, it is 2024. And it has never been easier to get tickets for your favorite events. Now, I'm terrible at it. I'm a bad planner. I'm always looking for last-minute tickets. One time I bought a ticket from a scalper in front of a basketball game. The staff looked at me like I was crazy for doing that. The event on the ticket didn't even exist. I'm horrible at it, which is why I am so thankful for the Game Time app. Now, Game Time is the fast and easy way to get tickets for all the events. Sports, music, comedy, theater, if you're into that. Now, I'm using Game Time right now to support my friends who are stand-up comedians. Tony Baker, Kev On Stage, you guys love them. And it was a breeze with Game Time. You got killer last-minute deals, which I need because I'm always scrambling. You could see the view from your seat. Now, I don't know why that hasn't always been a thing. It's a genius idea. Now, the app has a lot of cool features. They got flash deals. How can you resist? It's a flash deal. They got the lowest price guarantee. They got event cancellation protection. Just, you know, sometimes you don't want to go. You know, sometimes you get the ticket and then things come up. Game Time got your back. They even have something called zone deals. I have never heard of this before using the Game Time app. And the zone deal is basically you can save more money when you choose a section and you could let Game Time choose the seats for you. If you're indecisive, you can get a deal out of it. And not only that, they have the Game Time ticket coverage, which means your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. They giants out here. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code DIYS for $20 off your first purchase. These are just deals on deals. Now, terms apply. And again, all you got to do is create an account and use the redeem code DIYS for $20 off. Now, go to GameTime.co and create an account. What do you have to lose? Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Why would you not?
All right, well, let's just jump into this first city since you're talking about crazy
while
shit.
While we're talking about ridiculous shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Sin City Sting. It's a cool little pun.
Yeah.
SoCal man was just stung on his testicles by a scorpion in a hotel bed. I really hope it's the same at the Venetian.
One. Yeah, is that the Venetian?
I like the Venetian.
Me too.
That's really scary because I always, anytime I stay in a hotel, I check for bed bugs and stuff.
All of that.
This is
yeah.
worse.
Yeah.
This is worse.
A SoCal man is swelling with anger after he says he was stung by a scorpion in his Vegas hotel bed, right in his most private of parts. Now he's suing the Venetian Hotel, claiming the most stinging part of the attack was how the hotel handled the painful jab at his family jewels. I mean, it's just riddled with puns.
Overdoing the puns at this point.
Jesus Christ. News reporter ABC Leanne is live with the arachnid.
Arachnid attack. Okay. We got an article for this. Because this is... Okay.
So I read about this. I actually read about this. A guy was in his bed, and he felt the stab in his balls. He got up, and he killed it. And he left the scorpion in the drawers so they could see it. And he went down and told them.
He walked down with it in the...
No. He left it in his room. He took the drawers off and then killed it, I guess, with a shoe. Left the drawers on the floor, went down, and all they offered him was a free room.
File 100% free with TurboTax free.
Yeah, that's how they handled it. I'm calling the police.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And they said that it was... when he went to go get it checked out at the local hospital, they said that it's a poisonous scorpion, and that's it. They gave me pain medication and another medication and released me. They told me the pain is supposed to pass in a few days.
Oh, a few days. Suck my balls.
Why did it attack the balls?
Hey, man.
It could have been anywhere. It probably walked all the way up the...
teabagging that scorpion. Like, get off me.
He could have walked up. He walked up the entire leg and chose the balls. Now, niggas in Vegas are nasty, so there's a chance he brought it with him.
But
I have no idea how they reacted to it.
He's from SoCal. I mean, he's from here, though, or somewhere down here in SoCal. And I was reading about this. They were talking about how, you know, Scorpio is like, he could have been on the wall. Like, if you check the bed, he could have been on the wall and you didn't notice him. And then he crawls over because they can crawl just about anywhere.
That's terrifying. And that's a big-ass scorpion.
Yeah.
And Vegas is in the desert. I wonder what that even feels like.
I don't want
to
know.
A poisonous stung to your balls? I wonder if... I mean, it's probably TMI. It's
swole up.
Right.
Yeah, he probably can't walk. He had to be in a wheelchair because it hurts to walk.
I want an update. Can he still use them?
I mean, yeah. He took the medicine, so... He's now pursuing the resort for an unspecified amount. Nobody's saying that Vegas needs to be exposed to deadly scorpions while they're sleeping, let alone on the private parts, the testicles, his attorney Brian
said. So he's
Bright
from Agora Hills. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But he said he was awoken. So this is the day after Christmas when it happened.
Damn.
And he was awakened by a sudden pain in his groin. He said he didn't know what was going on. He reached down to see what was happening and got another sting and another. So he got stung three times.
Oh, what?
After that, I went to the restroom and saw a scorpion hanging on my underwear.
His sense of, like, his mental must be insane. That would scar
sometimes
me for life.
Sometimes you feel a sting or something. You'd be like, oh, what the fuck was that?
Right.
Right? You don't, you just rub it off. But, like, a constant, that, godly.
I was going to work.
Man,
yeah, he was poking him up. Said, I got your ball sack right
they
here.
They said that this is poisonous scorpion, and that's it. They gave me pain medication, another medication released me, and they told me the pain is supposed to pass in a couple of days. What you saying? I'm not sure... I'm healthy. I have some ongoing issues medically and emotionally with this. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I would imagine so.
Oh my God. Vegas is losing its appeal.
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
When I met with the hotel manager, this made me very angry. They didn't care about anything. They didn't even apologize for what happened.
How is sorry not the first thing out of your mouth?
Like, what? I'd be checking for scorpions wearing.
Oh, shit. We did some investigation and some homework on this case. This case appears to be the first time that scorpions... Not to be the first time that scorpions were found in a guest room at the Palazzo and the Venetian Rex had. It's just completely unacceptable on every level. Guests need to be safe in their guest rooms. Clearly, that was not the case. It was just very fortunate that Mike reached out to me and I can try to get him the justice that he deserves because nobody needs to be exposed to deadly scorpions while they're sleeping, let alone their private areas. Here's the thing, though. I definitely feel for the victim, right? But as a hotel owner, it's like, bro, we do the best we can. We clean in the rooms. We're in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
This is an arachnid that is indigenous to this area.
But the 30th floor?
Hey, man.
You better clean that shit.
Hey, man. Like, yeah, that mug could have been traveling. It could have been on the cart that they clean in the rooms with. And just hopped off right there. He was like, yeah, this seems like a good place.
But I think all of this falls under their liability, especially if there's, like, other cases of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been like, oh, shit, not again. I'm so sorry, you know.
They be spraying for stuff. You can't spray for some scorpions. I remember it stung his dick. instead of his balls.
If it stung its hand, this would be a crazy story. The balls just makes it like, oh my God, I can't believe you had to deal with that. You got
that's a horrible way to be woken up too. Mm-hmm. Like just having a good dream, a good slumber after a night of partying. It's the day after Christmas,
right?
You know, and then that fuck you.
What if he finds out he's into it? He's like, you know what?
It's like, woke up biting his lip. This would be an amazing origin story to a superhero.
You're a bad boy. You like those balls?
Scorpion dick.
Yeah, scorpion dick. He got venomous semen that he shoots at his bad guys.
Damn.
I don't. You have to take a photo of his underwear like that when there's semen.
Yeah, you can see the blood where it killed it and shit like
that. If that is blood.
Damn.
That's insane. I think that, like, Vegas is like, between this, the bed bugs, like, there's something going on with the cleaning.
Yeah.
And, or nothing.
Yeah, or nothing. Like, what is. But here's my thing is like, and I feel like Karens don't know this either. When something bad happens like this at a business, what do you expect when you go to the front desk? You know, because it seems like definitely he should have gotten an apology, but opening up the register and like counting some cash also seems kind of crazy. So a free room, obviously that's not enough, but what could you get from the hotel that like, it seems like you go straight to lawsuit because the lawsuit is like, this happened to me, I'm suing. But what's best case scenario?
I mean, all they can do is make a report, the incident report, and you can let them know I'm going to seek, you know, some type of restitution. I'm going to seek legal counsel because how the fuck did this happen? The hotel's like, well, I mean, they don't have an answer for like, this is kind of crazy.
Sometimes
every couple years. Yeah, every couple years. So all I can do is make an incident report and, you know, record it and you just have to go about your business. But these hotels, I don't feel sorry for these hotels, man, for the way they be price gouging when events are in town and all that type of shit. And then the casinos, how much money they make. They make millions of dollars a day. I don't feel any
if
type of way.
They can pay off those hackers. Yeah. You can sling me some money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Go ahead and take care of me. You know, get it together because, this shouldn't have happened. It happens, but it shouldn't have happened. It ain't like I'm fucking camping in Las Vegas. I'm in the Venetian on the 30th floor.
That's scary as hell. No, I just, he's never going to sleep sound again. Especially at a hotel.
It's going to be a hard time. Yeah, it's going to be a hard time. I don't know. Would you ever go back to Vegas if something like that happened?
I don't know. I definitely am off the Venetian, though.
I can't let go of the Blue Man Group. I'll be back next week.
Venetian's a great hotel.
It is. It's a really nice hotel. I like it. You got the bed. You got the couch right there. And like the step-down living area. The bathroom is huge. A lot of big mirrors. Good lighting. I like the Venetian.
Venetian is fire, but shit, it's not worth a scorpion.
Not a ball.
Dick,
not a ball bite.
Dick bite. Would this have been worse if it stung the shaft?
That's what Hippie was saying. I don't want none of it. I'm gonna be honest with you.
That sounds like it can make your stuff stop.
It could possibly give you some dead tissue.
Yeah, the shaft is worse because you know there's men who've had to have balls removed, you know, for medical reasons. You can keep living and you know you don't need the balls like that. But
there's a lot of empty space too. He could have stabbed some skin.
Exactly.
Not the scrotum. Oh, not the ball inside.
You might
the
not
have
got the test. Yeah,
the testicles.
Now, is the Palazzo a different building than the Venetian? Just same company?
I think they're connected. Like when you're walking through like the mall part, it's it's just a different tower.
Palazzo's like the one with no theme. The theme is just nice, right? And then Venetian is the gondolas. But I didn't know they might be the same company. But I think Palazzo is a different building.
Yeah.
So maybe
Palazzo's the gondolas and Venetian's the hotel.
Oh, it's the Palazzo.
The Palazzo has like all the restaurants and everything.
At the Venetian Resort. That's what it's called.
Damn. I don't know where to go in Vegas anymore.
It's located in the Venetian. So.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the scorpions are there. They're
it's
all
the
over.
Desert, baby.
But who's cleaning them up? That's what I want to. That's
mean,
where I want to go.
You hear the horror stories about hotels. They're like, we don't care how many stars it is. Like, it's not as clean. Like, don't drink out of the glasses that are there. Don't, you know,
walk barefoot.
It? Yeah, there's just so.
Oh, yeah, I stopped doing that.
So. I don't like hotels with carpet. I like.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have it for the most part, but like if you can get a suite that's got marble floors or something like that, it's put me up. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's a gross color for it, too. I'd rather it be black.
Yeah, I don't want the black one. I don't know. That one just seems like it's... It came for trouble. That one might have got lost. Like, oh, man, I must have took the wrong turn at the lake.
But the bright-colored ones, I feel like, are more venomous.
That seems scary. The Palazzo, it says, like the Venetian, the Palazzo is an all-suite hotel, 3,066 rooms, a 50-story hotel tower.
Man, it must be hard to clean 3,000
rooms. Briefly was the tallest building in Vegas upon opening. But anyway.
If you're cleaning 3,000 rooms, Scorpion's going, you're going to miss a scorpion.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You gonna miss a bed bug,
man? And like, interview the workers and see how many they found.
It's the same color as the floor too, so you know.
I know that floor too. That's the bathroom floor, bro.
Yeah.
Oh. Stuff will happen. When I was in high school, my sister and I shared a room, and it was summertime. I'm from North Carolina, and we had the window up, and she just kept going. I felt something crawl on me, and I'm like, shut up. Like, shut up. I'm trying to go to sleep. So she just kept complaining. I'm like, you ain't feel nothing.
She said that more than once?
She said it. She felt it. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then she was like, but I really do think so. And I was like, no, you didn't. Like, it was just a cover. Woke up the next morning. There was a bat hanging on the curtain. And it was daytime, so it was just sitting there.
Wait.
She had to get rabies shots?
What?
No, I didn't bite her. She just felt it. Crawl.
Why didn't you give her a chance and turn the lights on?
Because I was tired, and I was like, you didn't feel nothing. Go to sleep.
What? Wait, where was this?
At our house.
North Carolina.
In North Carolina. Yeah. So when we put the windows up in the summer so we can get a breeze, or we had a fan in the window, who knows? You know, but the window definitely was up, and there was a bat, and she was like, I told you. And I was like, oh, my bad.
Damn.
My bad. My bad. That's really scary. That bat was spooning with y'all.
Yeah, so I've so definitely there's something can get in the covers and crawl. You think
it was under the covers? You think?
She said she felt it and she was under the covers, so I'm assuming. But at some point it crawled out and went and hung on the curtain. I know.
Was it a big bat?
It was tiny. Bats are usually pretty small. Yeah, they are. Yeah, it was. We caught them the next day. And we threw him out in the yard, and he just laid there like, And we're like, get up. And then finally he flew away.
This is when I sleep. The daytime.
Yeah. He was.
I'm nocturnal.
Damn, that's just as crazy of a story. And she didn't get any shots or sick?
No, I didn't bite her. She just said she felt something.
Okay.
Guys, you might not tell by looking at me, but I do go to the gym, okay? And as with every gym goer, I got my essentials. I need water. I need my headphones. Trying to work out without headphones is terrible. And I need my fingerless gloves. I know it's random, but there is a new addition to that list, and it is the FitBod. Now, what is FitBod, you may ask? FitBod is a fitness app that creates completely personalized workouts that adapt as you improve. Now, what I like about FitBod is it actually pushes you to make progress. And I need that because sometimes I just go to the gym and do the same thing. Now, FitBod is kind of like having your very own personal trainer, but better. Not only is it cheaper, but you can work out anywhere and you don't need equipment. Not only that, it's actually really easy to build a custom plan that's very specific to you. And it's super easy. All I had to do was tell FitBod what my goals were and my fitness level, which is low, and the available equipment that I had to use. And it gave me like a whole schedule. Right now I'm really working on cardio and resistance training. I'm gonna get buff on y'all, just watch. Now me, I'm a gamer, so I like the achievements, you know? That's what I like about FitBod. I get to see my achievement. I get workout streaks, which makes me consistent because I want that streak to keep going, baby. And not only that, since I started using the app, I've been seeing some gains. And just like a personal trainer, it is pushing me and I'm having more intense workouts than I do when it's just me. FitBod also adapts as you improve, so each workout is gonna be challenging and it's gonna push you to that next level that you're looking for. The app also tracks muscle recovery, which is awesome, and it's fine-tuned by experienced, certified personal trainers. So it got that stamp of approval. And the icing on the cake is that there's over 1,000 demonstration videos, which is perfect because we've all looked dumb in the gym because we didn't know how to use a piece of equipment or do the proper technique. So add FitBod to your workout essentials and join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription, or you can try the app for free at fitbod.me/DIYS. One more time, that's fitbod.me/DIYS. That's Fitbod, FITBOD.ME/DIYS. I had to break it down for you. So download the app and get gains like me. Like I said, I'm going to get buff on y'all. And y'all going to remember this.
Yeah. All right.
That was almost a superhero story.
Right.
Batman. That would have, yeah.
This one is kind of crazy. So a former Boeing whistleblower was found dead from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. And these are the type of stories that makes it hard to want to do the right thing in those situations because it's like,
right,
bro, this is not the first time something like this has happened. Somebody's come forward to talk about a company's bad handling or, you know, ill intentions or bad practices, and somehow they end up unalived. A former longtime Boeing employee who had raised some serious concerns about the company's production standards was found dead in Charleston, South Carolina over the weekend, according to Charleston County Coroner's Office.
Sheesh.
A news release from the Charleston County Coroner's Office said John Burnett, 62, died on March 9th from what appears to be a self-inflicted gun wound. The city's police department says detectives are investigating the case and awaiting the formal cause of death, along with any additional findings that might shed further light on the circumstances surrounding the death of Mr. Barrett. I'm trying to find out if he, outside of the general reason for him whistleblowing, was that anything?
That one, the lawyers, yep.
Okay. John was in the midst of a deposition in his whistleblower retaliation case, which finally was nearing the end. He was in good spirits and really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. We didn't see any indication he would take his own life. No one can believe it. We're all devastated. We need more information about what happened to John. The Charleston police need to investigate this fully and accurately and tell the public what they find out. No detail can be left unturned.
They were supposed to go to trial in June, which is very soon.
Wow.
What the hell?
Okay. The police incident report says officers were dispatched to conduct a welfare check at a Holiday Inn in Charleston shortly before 10:20 a.m. on Saturday. When they arrived, responding officers found Barrett in the driver's seat of a truck in the parking lot with a gunshot wound to the head. He was holding a handgun. Barrett pronounced dead at the scene, police said. The police report also said there was a piece of paper found next to him that looked like a note.
Why do people think that somebody would kill themselves before going to court for something that they set up? Like, he wanted to do that.
Yeah, and he was getting to the point where it's finally
the incident report noted that the hotel received a phone call from a Rob who requested the welfare check on his co-worker John Barrett, which led hotel employees to the truck.
So they were pointed to him too. Hey, yeah. I haven't seen my friends. Can you check on him?
Yeah, who the fuck is Rob? Have they verified there's a Rob that he worked with? That's like the, I don't know. That's I don't know, man. It smells a little fishy to me.
So I when I read the story, it seemed like what he was about to tell on was their safety practices were crazy. Like, like damn near not checking certain things like that you're supposed to check before flights. So I don't understand what that would have led to. Maybe like even worse practices.
Fines. They could have been fined.
Was it just the safety stuff, or was it how the planes were built?
Barnett, a former quality manager who had worked at Boeing for decades, had discovered clusters of metal slivers hanging over the wing that commands the flight controls, according to a 2019 New York Times report cited by CNN. Barnett told the Times that if those sharp slivers penetrated the wiring, the result could be catastrophic. As a quality manager at Boeing, you're the last line of defense before a defect makes it out to the flying public. Barnett told the Times, and I haven't seen a plane out of Charleston yet that I'd put my name on saying it. Wow, safe. Wow. So that would have been a recall on an entire fleet.
Oh.
And probably an additional millions of dollars to correct the problem. Yeah, they would have lost.
Airlines, yeah, not just the planes are recalled, so they're losing money. But now the airlines
too,
because
these airlines are using these planes. So Boeing is I don't even know how many airlines are using Boeings. So it's Boeing and Airbus. Those are the two main ones. So all of those airlines would have to ship back planes or send back planes, or it would have to be corrected before they can fly. wow.
Damn, and they couldn't just fix it?
I mean, fixing it would have been
a process.
Yeah.
But then now you've got the public scared to fly. Because mm-hmm. now you've already got right. people freaking out on planes and being weird. But now you have the public as a whole scared to just get on your plane because you're like,
right.
I don't want to. So now you've got airline companies involved putting pressure. You know, like there's probably pressure coming from all kinds of ways because those airline companies, they're, you know, they're lobbying Congress, like all these political things mm-hmm. and the different rules that they have. There's so much intertwined in all of that.
And imagine if those planes are half or two-thirds of your fleet of planes.
Mm-hmm. But made from Boeing. He's basically made from saying Boeing, every... Yeah. Okay.
So that means that you can no longer offer, like, maybe those big flights. Now everything has to be on the small planes. You can only go so far on those because mm-hmm. they're limited capacity when it comes to fuel. So now you have way more connections. Mm-hmm. It might be way less direct flights. Damn, all of that is going to cost everybody money. And then eventually it's going to cause a lot of those airlines to probably switch to Airbus. So now Boeing's going to lose money on...
That's another type of Boeing type of company?
Yeah, it's another airline producer. Uh-huh. So you got Boeing, you got Airbus. Those are the two biggest ones. So
Boeing has assassins? That's crazy to think, because I feel like every time you're on a rough flight, you tell yourself, like, this is safer than driving. You know, them stats you've been hearing all the time, like, oh, this doesn't happen all the time. And now there's somebody saying, like, I wouldn't put my name on any plane that's come out of Charleston saying it's safe and airworthy. Not even just safe, airworthy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Boeing got down like that.
Bro, let me tell you something. The world is so fucking crazy. So when was those riots? It was like a riot in Detroit, I want to say. Was it Detroit? I'm going to see. James Brown had a concert. Let me see. Prevented riots.
James Brown prevented the riots?
I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you this.
Hey, you. Get down.
Okay, so. The day after Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination, James Brown was set to perform in Boston, and the city, the whole country is in turmoil. There are riots all over and all of this shit, right? And so they're trying to decide, do we still do the concert? Because this event just happened. This is Dr. King, right? Mm-hmm. And they also like, yo, how do we stop these riots? So I think the mayor of Boston asked James to do the concert and broadcast is live on TV mm-hmm. to encourage people to stay home and watch the concert and not riot and not loot, right? So the government asked him to do this. And once he did it, because people did stay home and they did stay in the house and they did watch the concert, mm-hmm. so it did bring some peace to the country, then the government was like, that's too much power for one black man. Mm-hmm. And then the CIA started watching him. After they asked him to fucking do it!
So, okay, so what were they like? They were following him around, and there's like a...
That's just probably, anytime it's something like that, it's like, yo, this motherfucker's too powerful. We got to slow him down. So now we're going to start watching to see if he's breaking the law or anything, or mm-hmm. anything we can bring him up on charges, or let's start building a case so we can, like, get him. Look, James Brown said the CIA spied on him, the CIA won't say.
Wow. I wonder, how did he die? His death is a mystery?
And let me tell you, that reminds me of when the riots Holy were happening shit. In Baltimore after mm-hmm. Freddie Gray died in police custody mm-hmm. for legal possession of a knife. It says then he sustained fatal injuries and was taken in. So Prince had performed in Baltimore to kind of help with that. And he kind of made like a whole album about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tried to help the city or whatever. And it wasn't too long after that Prince was found dead. I don't know how much longer after, you know, in the elevator at, what's the name of his place?
Paisley
Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was found dead in the elevator?
Yeah, and they said he overdosed on mm-hmm. something. But Prince was, like, so healthy.
Accidental.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he do drugs? Overdose.
I think it was, like, to go to sleep.
Yeah. You never know who does drugs and who doesn't.
I don't know.
It wasn't well known if he was. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Brown made this extraordinary claim about 2 years before his death. It barely registered to the public consciousness, but it mattered then and it matters now. If indeed this is true, because the CIA is forbidden by its charter from domestic spying on Americans, and if the CIA spied on Brown in other countries, it would certainly qualify as newsworthy. But, bro, like, that is so fucking crazy. And I would not be surprised.
That's insane.
Every powerful black man, I mean,
overdoses or kills themselves.
Well, it also is like they're on somebody's list, one of our agencies' list. Like they did it to Malcolm, they did it to Martin, they did it to James Brown. Like if you are too powerful,
right?
It's like nah, because if you cause a revolt, then
if people follow you,
isn't it on paper that the FBI killed Martin Luther King though? Like they went to court and lost.
They came forward and I think they apologized. But like,
isn't there a court case?
It was. I feel like a lot of shit was going on. Yeah, it was a lot of shit going on when they did it, so it kind of went under the radar. But yeah, man, it's.
Yeah, so Prince did the concert in 2015 because that's when Freddie Gray died, and he was like, he did the concert to promote peace in Baltimore to get the people to stop rioting, and I think it did help. And he said the system is broken, and he was found dead a year later in 2016.
So that's crazy. He's like, I'm just trying to clean this shit up.
Yeah, so it just seems like when they start getting political and trying to help the people and you know, and whatever, like you said, too much power.
That's why Drake was like, I can't speak on that shit, man. I speak on that shit, the motherfuckers come to Toronto.
It's crazy how they're able to cover these stories from such, like, huge celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's I forget, Bob Marley survived an assassination attempt. I think they shot at him and his sister, and his dreads stopped the bullet, or something wild like that. But it was right after the here it go.
And they performed the very next day.
Yeah. And what the movie's out right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Did they cover that?
I haven't seen it.
I heard it's really good. I heard it was really good.
Guys, let's face it: not all of us have time to cook, and to be honest, not all of us can. And I'm guilty. I'm not the best cook, and I definitely don't have the time. And that's why I'm so, so happy that I signed up for Factor. Factor makes eating better so much easier because it has delicious, ready-to-eat meals. And that is just, it's just perfect for my schedule. Factor provides fresh, never-frozen meals, and they're all chef-crafted and dietitian-approved. So it got the stamp. And not only that, they're ready to go in only 2 minutes. Factor also comes with a whole lot of options. There's either 35 different options to choose from every single week. So you can do Calorie Smart, you can do Protein Plus, Keto, whatever you're going for. Now, me personally, I am a big fan of the protein shakes. That's what really, really sold me because they're delicious and they're plant-based. So you can't go wrong. It's a huge variety of easy options for the entire day. You could do pancakes, smoothies, midday bites, anything that you're going for. And the best part, no prep, no mess meals. They're all just ready to heat and eat. Also, you can pause or reschedule the deliveries anytime. So it's very, very flexible for whatever your schedule may be. Right now, I got a cold brew latte protein shake. Ooh, this one's gonna be really, really good. What else I got? I got the chocolate banana. I've had this one. This is fire. So sign up and save. We already did the math, all right? Factor is less expensive than takeout. And God knows, I'm always spending money on takeout. So it really is the perfect solution if you're just looking for a quick, healthy meal. And also, there's premium options with no cooking required. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to factormeals.com/DIYS50 and use our code. The code is DIYS50 because you're going to get 50% off. Again, that code is DIYS50 at factormeals.com/DIYS50. Get you 50% off, and you don't have to cook. I'm done cooking, and I'm done making protein shakes, because it's ready to go. What are you waiting for? DIYS 50, 50% off. Thank me later.
But can we zoom in one more time? Or two more times? Let's see.
Okay, bye.
What's that little movie?
Bob Rita and all those injured in the attack all survived.
Where's from the hospital. In the time the musician was able to perform the Smile Jamaica concert, just 2 days later on December 5th, 1976, as covered in the movie, Marley displayed his wounds from the assassination attempt to the audience members following his performance at that concert. One Love depicts a gunman one gunman from the assassination in attendance at that concert. In the film, the man later returns to Marley's home to beg for the musician's forgiveness. Marley is shown as accepting his apology shortly before he and his band perform the One Love concert, April 22nd,
1978. That's insane. Yeah, I think it was the same thing. Like Jamaica asked him to perform to either for some peace or like somebody was about to be elected, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always something.
Man.
He should just, I mean, damn. At that point, it's just like, I just do music.
Bro, it's crazy, man. Like, it's like they would try to take you down if you were too powerful.
That's crazy that they asked him. Can we go back to the James Brown thing? I've never, ever heard of this.
I just found this out a couple weeks ago. It was a cartoon or animation that talks about, it was like Life on a Tour Bus or something like that. And this was like one of the first episodes. And I was like, what the fuck?
This story was on there?
Yeah.
Here's his quote. There was a lot of suspicion, especially among the National Police, the FBI, and the CIA about this so-called display of black power on my part. This is Brown. He wrote with a co-author, Mark Elliott. Their thinking went something along the lines of, if he could stop a riot, he could just as easily start one.
Mm-hmm.
From that moment, I knew I was put under national security surveillance. I could sense them watching me, spying me, staking out my home. That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
They lucky camera phones and social media wasn't out back then, because this is a lot harder to do. But I mean, I guess not by the Boeing situation. I think that getting purposely suicided is probably one of the scariest threats you can get, because it's like, with our attention span, it's just like, it's almost like a write-off. If James Brown was just murdered all of a sudden, everybody would be like, yo, what the, you know, we need a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. But for them to just play it off on mental health, drugs, overdose,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff, and then it's just like, sad, move on. Because obviously, Michael Jackson had some suspicious stuff around his death too. I just started this series called American Conspiracy. It's on Netflix. Mm. Have you seen that? It's about the octopus murders. It's not an octopus doing the murders though. It's about like a case. Are we
they're
sure? apparently, like back when crime was all done on paper instead of electronics. It was just easy to get mixed up. Nothing was organized. And then this company came in with this new tech that helped with law enforcement. And the story is crazy, because that new organization just uncovered so much crazy, crooked stuff around that that case. And the first person to whistle blew, he was killed. And then there's another journalist that followed up and he was killed. And so this is about somebody finding all of that information and then finishing the story. But the craziest part, you know, I don't know the full, like, the names of everybody, but the craziest part was they interviewed the maintenance guy who found the dude. And he said that there was blood everywhere, bloody handprints on the walls. And then when they found him, he had like 6 to 8 cuts on each arm. So it was just like, this dude clearly didn't kill him.
Right.
You know, he wasn't like running around. Like, it was like clearly an attack, but it was written off as a suicide. And he even got calls saying, like, you know, we have ways of making you sell, and just like all these crazy, crazy threats. So, I mean, like that will deter somebody from telling the truth, for
man.
Sure.
Man.
It's been like, so we have the black, you know, the powerful black musicians and stuff being murdered, whistleblowers like that. Crypto dudes were kind of falling left and right for a while. And they were usually like a random attack at night when they're going to their car.
I saw that.
There's that. And then there were the doctors. There were a lot of like a holistic doctors that were just being, really? Every time you turned around, one of them was like turning up that said they unalived themselves, or they found them in a, you know, ditch somewhere, or just something
because
crazy.
Of the farm, like,
because
pharmacy
of like
company?
Yeah, because they were probably going to whistleblow, or they were bringing much more attention to, you know, bad practices, things that don't need to, you know, be going on, or yeah, pharmaceutical stuff. There's this show on Netflix called, it's based on Edgar Allan Poe, but it's called Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So good.
That was good.
Fall of the House of Usher was amazing. If you haven't seen that, go check that out. Damn, that was good.
It's good ass so series. Good.
Yeah, but they base it around like pharmaceutical stuff too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like that. And then there's some other show about pharmaceutical. So that there's a whole rabbit hole about.
Mm-hmm. Is Secession? Are you talking? Is Secession? Is he a farm guy?
No, it's called. It has a more pharmaceutical name, but it's probably there's probably a lot of it. But there's a newer show.
It's fucking scary.
Secession, I think, wasn't that about an advertisement company? I think.
Yeah, they was. They were a media company. Yeah. Yeah. That's insane. I didn't know James Brown had a conspiracy.
Bro, I was shocked when I heard that one. I was like, wait, what? I was called
Pain Hustlers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Because that one was about, that's when opioids first dropped and how crazy that got. Yeah, it's America's crazy, bro.
The fact they asked him is insane.
Yeah.
Like, hey, stop this riot for us. Oh, shit, he knows how to stop a riot.
Right? He can probably cause one then, like, if he wanted to.
You can't just call me the next time you need me to stop a riot? Like, why you gotta kill me in case I start a riot? That doesn't even make sense.
But you know what? It's probably because he, at that time, he stopped wearing the perm. He had went like all natural. This is when he's doing I'm Black and I'm Proud. Mm-hmm. You know, this is when it was like, you know, he started like doing it for the people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're looking at it probably from that standpoint like, yo, he is, you know, a proud Black man.
Right.
James Brown was the type of motherfucker. This is how wild James Brown is. James Brown had two record companies. One for singles, one for albums. James Brown owned like 8 to 12 radio stations. So he didn't have to participate in payola. He just played his own fucking music. James Brown was a motherfucking legend. When they say hardest working man in show business, it was no... Like, it didn't even ring a bell to how crazy this motherfucker was.
What was the advantage of separating albums and singles?
I don't know. He just had two things. Like, one was just there for
that just
pressing.
Sounds hella smart. I don't know why, though.
Hey, man. That motherfucker, he had his own jet. He would make the band and the singers ride on a bus to the next city, and he would pick one person to ride in a jet with him. If he was in the city for a while, he would fly a chick out. Even though he was married, fly another chick out just to cook for him or just to spend time with him. James Brown was a wild boy, dog.
I didn't know that.
All right, guys, this episode is sponsored by the one and only Blue Chew. Now, if you have watched the show for any amount of time, you will know how we feel about Blue Chew and how much we love it. And I personally think that we're making the world a better place by spreading this amazing information. So let's just jump into it, because we want to help you guys at home. This is something that increases your performance in the bedroom and gets you that extra confidence that we all want. Who doesn't want to be confident in bed? So if you want that extra confidence, listen up. BlueChew.com. So what is Blue Chew, you may ask? Let me tell you, Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, but this is in chewable tablet form, and it's at a fraction of the cost. And you can take them anytime you want. You can take them day, night, and you can plan ahead so you can be ready when the opportunity arises. See what I did there? And the process is super simple. All you have to do is sign up at BlueChew.com. You're going to consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you will receive your prescription within days. Super quick. And the best part, it's all done online. You don't have to go to the doctor's office. You don't have to have those awkward conversations. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. Because who really wants to leave their house? You know what I mean? Also, Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they're prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So no nosy neighbors all up in your business, you know what I mean? Now, I know what you might be thinking. You know, manly man, I don't need it. I don't need it. Well, how about this? Just try it out for a month and see. I have never heard a negative review. And why would you want to risk potentially missing out on the best sex of your life? Me personally, I don't even know if I can go back. Once I signed up for Blue Chew, that was a wrap, okay? I feel like Superman in the bedroom. So now that I'm Superman in the bedroom, I don't want to go back to Clark Kent, right? So hey, if it works for me, why wouldn't it work for you, all right? And Blue Chew, they just want to help you have better sex. So discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. Now, if you're thinking about it like, I want to give it a try, you're in luck because we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code DIYS at checkout. And all you have to do is pay $5 for the shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code DIYS, and receive your first month for free. Again, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
Had his own jet, crib, cars, all of that. He's paying them motherfuckers pennies on the dollar. And he was like, but you play with James Brown.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see the... He's a Black Panther? No. Oh, never mind. They're talking about Fred Hampton. So this is almost like... I'm seeing some similarities. Because like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X were super influential, but they didn't have bars, right? So like if you think about the similarities, is like one is like I have a dream speech. And then as time went on, it's almost like James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Similar messages, but more palatable. Mm-hmm. You get to dance to it now. So it's almost like they're under the same list. They're both talking to the people. They're both spreading Black power. And they're both, you know, saying, talking about corruption and stuff. I could see why that would be alarming, especially if they killed out Malcolm and Martin, too.
Damn. Yeah, man, he was...
Did Prince have like pro-black music?
Prince was always for Black unity and pride, but he also was like, he was more like, not more, but he was definitely like sticking to the man. Because when they didn't allow him to buy his masters back, that's why he started going by the symbol and started
or his name. That is his real name, and he couldn't use it.
Prince?
Yeah.
Yes. Prince Rogers Nelson.
They were trying to keep his masters and all his likeness, so he started going by the artist formerly known as Prince, and he had that symbol when they wouldn't let him keep his masters.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, because he even turned down collabs if they didn't own their masters. He's like, hit me up when you own your masters, and I'll collab with you. And I'm like, damn, that is some stick it to the man ass shit. Damn. Yeah. This is a cool little rabbit hole I'm about to go on.
Bro, it was crazy, bro.
It's crazy I've never heard of this. That's how I felt about the assassination attempt with Bob Marley. It's just like, damn, he's so famous for this to be kind of under wraps.
They don't want you to know about it.
Bro.
Damn.
At time, he got mad. No, his band got mad at him for all the fines that he would fine them with, right? Who? Late, James Brown. Because if you were late or you messed up on a beat or something like that, he would fine them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they already like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. They were like, you ain't paying us shit and then you gonna fine us? And so they started complaining to him. He fired all of them. And then he pulled in a young Cincinnati act named the Pacesetters, who would later Bootsy Collins and his brother Catfish. They were 27 and 19 respectively, and they were renamed the JBs. Their first record was Get Up.
Damn.
Sex Machine. Bad. Yeah, and then it's they became bad. Yeah, Bootsy Collins.
That's so interesting.
He fired the whole fucking band.
That nigga said, say it loud. The CIA was like, that's too loud. Keep that shit down. Damn.
Yeah, man.
What do you think the CIA spying on you is? Like, he said he had the suspicion. So you think that's like hearing like things on the phone, yeah, sure like cars like, outside and shit?
Yeah, yeah. Now
seeing the same person
so
when he's walking.
Man.
Yeah, because you got to think they had to have gotten like breathing on the phone. I don't think that's pretty old school.
But like you can hear the click and the crackle or the sound of the recording story.
Click like a hanging up or
no? Like you pick up the phone and then whatever the mechanism was they were using back then, the technology wasn't as smooth. Stealth like now. So you could I think hear the humming of the recording or something like that.
You've never had that before. Scary. The lines get crossed when you're trying to talk to someone, and you can hear another person's voice or something like that.
Well, I used to hear it back in the day.
Gaslighting him, they're like, "You're just paranoid. You're not hearing anything." He's like, "No, no, no, I am."
Who was?
Which is making him paranoid? James Brown.
No, who was saying that to him?
Everybody.
Yeah, the CIA.
The
won't
government.
Say.
Oh, we're not. Yeah, just we're not. You're just on drugs and you're.
Yeah.
He's telling him, no. He basically said no. We're not. Nuh-uh.
Nuh-uh. Prove it.
So he owned record labels owned by James Brown, Try Me Records, Brownstone, People Records.
What?
Three different record company, bro. James Brown, dude, it was crazy, man. Seven different record labels. Let me see how many radio stations he own.
I'm looking all this shit up tonight.
Bro, it's crazy. Okay.
That's scary.
Record stations. Radio stations. It's crazy. Okay. James Brown purchased WGYW in Knoxville, Tennessee for a reported $75,000.
$75,000?
Yeah, back
then. That was probably a grip of money back then.
Yeah. Well, let's see if it tells me how many he owned. In 1978, Tennessee, 75 quarter in the sound. The stations were called. He brought another one in Baltimore in 1970. Doesn't tell me exactly.
Do you have any documentaries? James
Brown. Mm-hmm. He has the movie that Chadwick played him in.
Oh, yeah.
That was super recent, huh?
That was about, 6 years?
2014.
Yeah.
Called Get On
10 years ago.
But does he have any, like, docs?
I'm sure it's some out there that may not have got the acclaim and the recognition, but Get On Down?
Get On Up. Yeah.
That was a good movie, though. Chadwick killed that role. Chadwick was the go-to documentary guy.
Jackie Robinson,
right. James Brown. I feel like it was one more.
Black Panther. Could be real. That could be real.
There was another
one coming out. Oh, Mr. Dynamite.
There's one coming out. Yeah, Mr. Dynamite was 2014. It's a documentary / musical. Oh, Say It Loud is a TV series that's coming out.
Oh, it's not out yet?
Well, it says 2024, so it might be out.
It came out in January. Who's LL Cool J?
He's just, they're interviewing him.
Oh, Jesus, okay. LL Cool J, James Brown.
Oh, man.
I mean, maybe if there was a documentary about this, I would have heard about it, but...
Just look up the Boston Garden concert. And that'll tell you everything you need to know.
That was the one, thing, right one?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. That shit crazy, man.
Poor black people, man.
Damn. All right, we got one more in. That's what we got. Oh, yeah, this is the one right here.
Oh, wow.
Let them eat flakes. Kellogg's CEO says a poor family should consider cereal for dinner.
It's not a bad suggestion.
You know, that's what I thought initially, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck it, if you got it, then eat that, right?
I've definitely eaten cereal at night.
Absolutely. Because cereal, fine. I mean, breakfast is one of those things you can eat anytime. But it's also like, he might have been thinking like, yo, this could help. But that was also a very elitist thing to do because you're so rich, you don't have these type of problems.
Right.
You don't think about, all right, well, we eat cereal for dinner, then what the fuck are we going to eat for breakfast in 2 days? Uh-huh. Because we've ate two breakfasts at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Healthy.
So he's not, and it's not healthy. It's not, even cereal is by itself supposed to be part of a balanced diet. You're not supposed to just be cereal. So we eating two bowls of Frosted Flakes for dinner. It was just a very elitist thing to do, to say. Multimillionaire CEO of the U.S. food processing giant Kellogg's has drawn scorn from some quarters after recently suggesting that families with strained finances should be coping by eating cereal for dinner. Gary Pilnick was speaking live on CNBC's Squawk on the Street on the 21st of February, where he delivered the remarks in question, which have some compared to the let them eat cake phrase frequently attributed without evidence to Marie Antoinette before her execution during the French Revolution.
What? That was somebody's last words?
Allegedly.
There's
no proof of it.
Yeah. The cereal category has always been quite affordable and tends to be a great destination when consumers are under pressure, Pilnick said, amid a discussion about high grocery prices. If you think about the cost of cereal for family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable. So it just sounds like he
picked the wrong words.
No, not just that. It's not like he was just trying to sell his brand. It's just like, yeah, man, you can't afford groceries. You know what I'm saying? Get a couple extra boxes of Kellogg's and, solve the day with that, baby.
He should have just used more adjectives. Like, poor people should eat this shit for dinner. It's kind of crazy. It's just like low-income families could eat this for supper.
That message has not actually landed that well with everyone who has heard it. One TikToker, Derisively?
What the hell does that mean?
Referred to a September 2023 Scrutiny and Exchange Commission filing, which showed Pilnick earned an annual base salary of $1 million and more than $4 million in incentives.
What?
This fool is making $4 million a year, that user said. Do you think he's feeding his kids cereal for dinner?
Absolutely not. Well, to be fair, he said poor people. He didn't say us. He didn't say we.
Eat the rich instead, one person said. Various others pointed out how cereal, especially brands manufactured by Kellogg's, isn't especially cheap. That's also facts. I got a box of apple cinnamon Cheerios, which is, you know, not in high consumption as the Honey Nut ones and the regular Cheerios. So it's kind of like a, you know, a smaller division of the Cheerio brand. But that box was damn near $7.
Damn.
For some fucking and it wasn't the family size box.
Where'd you get it from, though?
Ralph's.
Oh, okay.
It is crazy.
I didn't even know cereal prices went up like that. I haven't bought cereal in a very long time.
Bro, it is crazy. Kellogg's has been touting its cereal for dinner campaign since about 2022, when food prices increased by 9.9%, more than any other year since 1979, according to U.S. Agriculture Department's Economic Research Services.
I think it was just weird to say. Yeah. I don't really have a problem with this. Right. If you sell cereal, it didn't sound offensive. It just sounded like, why are you saying this? You know,
it sounds insensitive.
Yeah.
To those that aren't making $5 million a year,
for sure.
It sounds elitist for trying to push your product off on the poor instead of helping coming up with solutions. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very indicative of, you know, capitalism.
Yeah.
All right. There's this problem. Fuck all that. I'm selling this. You should get this. This will fix your problem. Like, bitch, no, it won't.
Cereal's expensive as fuck right now.
Yeah.
Like, and you can get better food for the cost of cereal and actually eat a decent meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's... if you're the CEO of Kellogg's, I don't expect him to just be the most, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not surprised by this.
Yeah, you gotta. I mean, the board is depending on you to increase sales and shit like that. I feel like a better, you know, hot take would have been like, hey, I'm, you know, working with, you know, the board to figure out if we can band together to do a group special with some of our products. Because Kellogg sells more than cereal. They, you know, they got bread and they got cookies, they got crackers, all that type of stuff. So if you had, you know, said something like that to aid families in need versus eat more cereal for dinner, because that just sounds insensitive. It's like, that's not even a quick fix. That's not even a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
No,
that's
just sure.
like yeah, just walk on over here, I'll take care of you. It's like, bitch, I took that shot in both knees.
The memes made after he said this were hilarious, because they're like, imagine you just come home from a 12-hour shift.
And like, you got a bowl of cornflakes on the table. And then you got to get milk, too,
right? Mm-hmm. And that's expensive.
That's expensive.
Yeah.
Is it weird? This kind of makes me want cereal, though. I'm like, I kind of do want a bowl of cereal now.
Ah, this has been interesting. Well, that's been yikes. It's stories like this that really confirm
it's cool little
the namesake
episode.
Of this podcast, because
it's scary shit.
It's a lot of scary shit going on right now. The world just seems very crazy, and I hope that we find some type of balance soon, because it's just, I don't know, man. So there's a lot of weird shit going on right now.
I just hope no planes start falling out the sky.
Ah, damn it.
Because that's some crazy news.
That it is. Well, as always, guys, we appreciate you watching. Shout out to the Mormont Scary Squad and anybody else that might be in here watching it live. And to those that are watching on Tuesday, we appreciate you. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you so much for your continued support. We value you. We appreciate you. We love you. As always, I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And we'll see you next time on another episode of Damn, Internet, You Scary.
They are.